Chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Out of respect for God's word, please rise. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." This is a reading from God's word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So we're continuing our sermon series on the kingdom. It has been 1 year since we started our campaign, Build Your Kingdom Here. And now, as you can see, if you've been to the site, we are under construction and the building looks great. And we will be in our building sometime soon, somewhere around the end of the year, I'm sure. But it is time to take a pause and to reflect and to ask ourselves, what exactly is the kingdom? If we're supposed to build the kingdom here, what is the kingdom? And that's what this sermon series is truly all about. And last week, we looked at the parable of the treasure found in the field, and the man sold all that he could have so that he could have that treasure, and the treasure is Jesus. Because with Jesus, you have everything, and without Jesus, you have nothing. But today, we're looking at another parable from Matthew 13. It is the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. We're going to look at 3 things, and the first is this. The kingdom of God is modest, or should I say unpretentious or unassuming. Listen to this, verse 31. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You know, there's an eternal truth about the mustard seed, and that is this: it is very small, but it grows into something very large. And we know it by another rule, which is you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Or appearances can be deceiving, because you wouldn't think that this little mustard seed can grow into such a large plant. But the fact is that it does. As Victor said this morning, how many of you have ever seen a mustard seed? It's very, very tiny. And a mustard plant grows into a very, very large tree. You could look at that as like the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God, looks can be deceiving also. When you think about who was remaining after Jesus ascended and left his 12 disciples, it was a very, very small group of people. It was just a handful. And you'd say, well, that's nothing. I mean, when you look at all the pantheon of gods that lived in Roman culture at that time, they had a god for everything. What was special about Jesus? He was just another guy, right? And yet, this ragtag group of people transformed the world and continues to transform the world. This little tiny group of people had a huge impact. It was like a tiny mustard seed and it grew into a very, very large plant. How is that possible? How is it possible that just a group of people could grow into such a large following of Jesus Christ? The fact is, looks can be deceiving because Jesus left his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives with us and helps us in our journey. And that's an eternal truth about the kingdom. You can't judge a book by its cover. You can't look at just appearances. You know, I look at the history of our church. It's a year anniversary of our Build Your Kingdom Here event. We started about 14 years ago as just this little tiny group of people. And yet God has continued to build and to grow this congregation. I never in my wildest dreams knew what it was going to look like this far along in the congregation. I didn't know if we'd have land. I didn't know if we'd have building. I didn't know if we'd have people. I didn't know what was it going to look like. But God has truly blessed this congregation so much over the last 14 years. We had a dinner on Thursday night to celebrate what God has done. And at that dinner, we celebrated that God has given us land. He's given us building. He's given us a mission. He's given us all that sort of thing. It looks can be deceiving, and you can't judge a book by its cover. The same thing is true about us. As individual followers of Jesus Christ, how many of us have said, I can't do anything for the kingdom? I have no skills. I have no ability. I can't do anything. Don't fool yourself. Don't judge yourself by your own gifts, what you can and cannot do. I don't know if you know, but today is a very special day. Does anybody know what today? Okay, there's two people in the back that can't answer this question, but does anybody else know what today is? No, you don't know? Well, shame on you. It is International Dot Day. Bet you didn't know that, did you? A guy I don't have his name. Anyway, oh, I do have his name. He wrote a book, and the book is called The Dot, Peter H. Reynolds. And it's a story about this young girl named Vashti. And Vashti is in art class, and the art teacher comes over to Vashti and looks at her paper, and it is completely blank. And she says, looks like a cow in a snowstorm. And Vashti says, ha, 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 very funny. She says, you got to draw something. She says, I can't draw. The teacher says, just put something, draw a dot. So Vashti draws a dot on the paper with her pencil. And the teacher says, that looks good. Now sign it. Vashti said, well, I can't do any art, but I can certainly draw my name. So she does her name, and she pans it in, and she goes away. And the next time there's art class, behind the teacher, in a gilded frame, is her dot. She looks at it, and she says, that's my dot. Well, I can draw a better dot than that. And all of a sudden, Vashti is on a mission. She wants to draw dots. She draws big dots and little dots. She mixes colors. She does everything she can to build all these different dots. She finds out that when she mixes two colors, it creates a whole different color. And she's on a dot mission. She hands it all in, and eventually it ends up at the art show. And there's this whole art show with all of Vashti's dots everywhere. And this little boy comes up to her and says, wow, you sure are a good artist. I wish I could draw like you. And Vashti looks at the little boy and says, what do you mean? He says, yeah, I can't draw a straight line with a ruler, which is what I've always said. She says, show it to me. Draw something. So he draws a straight line, squiggle on the page. And the Vashti said, that looks good. Now sign it. And the whole purpose of Dot Day is to just don't underestimate what you can do in art. Don't estimate what you can do in life. How many of us think that our faith is too small, it's not mature enough to do anything? The fact is that God has called you and gifted you exactly as you are to share your faith, to tell your story, to be part of his kingdom. And your salvation does not depend upon how strong your faith is. Your salvation depends upon how strong and how kingly Jesus is. And he is strong and he is kingly. You know, at this church, we have always done a thing called Kairos Prison Ministry. I don't know if you've heard of Kairos Prison Ministry, but basically it's where we bring a three-day event into the prison and we bring Jesus to prisoners. And you would think prisoners are the last people in the world that want to hear about Jesus. But believe it or not, in some prisons, in some situations, in some circumstances, there are prisoners that have never heard about the salvation of Jesus and the grace offered by him. And they just suck it up. They love it. They absolutely adore hearing about Jesus. And I've gone on several of these weekends and I've been amazed at the faith of some of these people. And I remember the last time I went to one of these prisons for this three-day weekend, I ended up working kind of behind the scenes with some of the prisoners that were preparing all the food. And so they have to sit there in the back room and get the food ready for the event. And we're sitting back there and they said, hey, you're a pastor. Let's play Bible charades. I'm like, oh, I don't want to swamp you guys, but all right, if you want to, we'll play Bible charades. A word of advice to any of you that want to play Bible charades with guys who are so hungry for the scriptures, they spend 8 to 10 hours a day reading it every day, and they have the time because they're in prison. You will get swamped. I don't care who you are. It's embarrassing. But don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge what you can do by the look of what people look like. God can take you from whatever beginning you have and grow you into a full-grown fruit-bearing tree. And it doesn't matter where you started. What matters is that you are growing and God is working inside your life. We all start small and grow. Some grow fast and some grow slow, but we all grow. Are you growing in your faith? The second thing that I see in this parable is actually the second parable, which is this. The kingdom of God permeates this world. It's from verse 33. Jesus told them a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. You know, I've read this parable many, many times, and I always thought that leaven was yeast because that's what makes bread rise. But that's not how they did it in the Old Testament. It's different. They actually took a piece of yeasty bread, like a sourdough bread or some of your friendship breads, and they took that and they threw that in with the flour. They just threw it in there. And it kind of worked its way into the flour, and it took a long time. But eventually, the whole entire flour changed and transformed. That's what leavening process was. That's what the kingdom of God does here in our life. When it enters into our life, it changes us. It's a chemical, biological reaction that happens. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And let me tell you something. It's unstoppable. You can't kill it. The gates of hell will not prevail against that kingdom. Think of the changes that happen when you throw yeast or this leaven into the bread. It radically transforms the flour into something entirely different. It's no longer the same. The same true is about the early church. Think about this ragtag group of people in Rome at the time, and it was just a little bit of them, just a little bit of yeast, a little bit of leaven living in Rome. And they spread. They spread here, they spread there with their stories, with their messages about grace, and they completely transformed the world around them. And on Thursday, we had this dinner, and I was telling them about how this church is transforming the Vail community. As a matter of fact, we are very, very involved in the Vail community. I don't know if you know that. I'm sure you've seen it many, many times. But we do little things here and there to love the Vail community. And I will tell you, it does not go unnoticed. Just last week, I had a meeting with somebody, and they said, we appreciate so much what Christ Lutheran Vail Church does for our community. They definitely are like yeast. And I shared Thursday night, one of the things that I am so in love with this congregation is that you have built this whole concept of loving the world around us. It's part of our DNA. And you can change some things a little bit. You can do structural changes, but one of the hardest things to change in any congregation is to change the DNA, to make it be a church that truly is focused on the outside more than it is focused on the inside. Are we a church that will continue to love the Vail community? I was at an event yesterday. I don't know if you know about this, but one of our congressperson that represents our district here in Southern Tucson had an event called Congress on Your Corner right here at the Safeway. And they were here basically for a photo opportunity, I think. But I came because, you know, I'm a member of the Vail community and I wanted to be there and show support. And so I was there, and there in this audience was this group that was a protest group. It's like, we're protesting. I can't remember what the name of the group was. They gave me the flyer. And I was like, what are you protesting? We're protesters. And, you know, that's, I guess, one way to envision change is you can protest. But this is all they do is they protest. They go into little places where there's going to be groups of people and they protest. And they try to affect change that way. That's not how the kingdom of God works. We don't go into this world and protest the way that the world is living. We're more like leaven. We go into the world and we love them. We care for them. We always have an answer for the hope and the joy that is within us. And slowly, just little things like that begin to work in their life, and they begin to be transformed. The molecules and the biology of their world begins to change, and from within, they begin to change. That's how you affect change. That's how Jesus affected change. It wasn't by going and forcing it upon people, by going and loving the world around them. It's how we affect the world around us. We radically transform the world. How are you being a catalyst in your world, in your work, in your school, in your neighborhood? Are you an agent that brings change and joy and love and hope and compassion for the world around us? That's how leaven works. It's my call to all of us, is to be that kind of hope and change. The third thing is this: the kingdom of God is always relevant. Jesus said all these things to the crowds in parables, and Jesus never said anything to the crowd without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet: I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Jesus told stories. He told parables. Why did Jesus always tell parables? There's lots of reasons behind it, but one of the main reasons why, I think, is because parables are always relevant. In the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, after Jesus was gone, the church started growing. They had two ways of looking at the New Testament stories. They were either allegories, where every little bit meant something else. So in the parable of the mustard seed is actually this guy living in Rome at this time, and he's doing these things, or it was more of like kind of a literal translation that it's a mustard seed, but this is how it's applied to the world around us. Jesus talks in parables to force us to do the hard work to think of how this parable applies to our world today. How is it that we need to hear about leaven? How is it that we need to hear about the mustard seed? And what do those things mean? And it is always contextualized in the world around us, because the world around us is always changing and growing. Did you know in the seventh century, Christianity came to Japan, or to China? Huge impact in China. Don't know why, don't know what they preached, don't know how they made the gospel of Jesus Christ relevant to China, but after 500 years, it was pretty much gone from China. They were a post-Christian nation. And it wasn't until the Jesuits or the priests came in the 13th century to come and re-bring Christianity to China. And they did. They brought Christianity to China, and then it kind of died down again, and now Christianity is back in China and it's growing like gangbusters. You can't stop the leaven working. But each time it needs to be brought in with a different context and to understand about the culture around and to bring that gospel in that culture. I wonder now about the United States, because it seems like Christianity is kind of losing ground, so much so that there are missionaries from Africa bringing Christianity to different parts of the United States. Boy, isn't that interesting. Sometimes it takes a new and fresh look, not the old look. That's the great thing about parables. It helps us take a fresh look at the words of Jesus and what does that mean in the world around us. But our kingdom membership is not canceled because we get it wrong. Jesus wants to use the parables to explain the kingdom in a language that the culture understands. Stories. Children's stories, relevant newspaper articles, whatever drives home the message that Jesus is the king and we are his kingdom. And he has done everything and we have done nothing. My call for us is that we become like leaven, that we take what God has planted in our midst and grow to a large tree such that the birds of the air, basically the people in the Vail area, are blessed because of the work that we do here. That's what it's like to be in the kingdom. Now, next week, we're going to look at the parable of the net. Have you ever heard of the parable of the net? Well, if you haven't, you want to be here next week. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for bringing us into your kingdom. Help us to continue to grow and bear fruit in our world. Give us the strength to be your hands and feet. Give us the wisdom to proclaim your great kingdom message in ways that make your kingdom come and your will be done. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the Savior and King of us all. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please rise? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.